Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of June, and I'm recording at 10:38 p.m., and that's British summer time here in London. Okay, well, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but let's have just a quick review here of the recent week. Well, it's been all about Greece and a little bit more tragedy than triumph. And today, as you probably have already heard, there was a dismayed reaction. Again, we know yesterday that the IMF had left the discussions. And so really, Greece is playing a tough, I think, inexperienced game in here. And one of the problems is that they are burning up goodwill as much as they're burning up their economy in here. And it's, well, it's unfortunate. Today, more on that in a moment, but today we have in the Asia-Pacific region, China had a good day, again, with the Hang Seng Index and also the HSCEI Index, the two Hong Kong indices, which sell at currently at deep discounts to the A-Shares Index. And for the second day in a row, they were up more than the A-Shares, and both the HSI and the Hang Seng have recorded failed downside breaks from their trading ranges. And that is usually followed by a further rally back towards the higher side of the range. Now, looking at the European stock market indices, which I will just bring up in just a moment, it was a bad day generally in Europe because of this Greek situation. All down, and a number of declines of over 1% on the EU indices, and Germany, for instance, down 1.2%, but Italy was down a little bit more. Same with France. Same with the Euro Stoxx 50 index. So not good. Red all across the boards. Now, Wall Street. I was talking to Owen, excuse me, about half an hour ago. And, you know, I said, is anybody talking about Greece there? And he said, no, they're all talking about technology in California or bits of oil on the sands along the coast. But Wall Street certainly being affected adversely by the Greek situation. I had an email in a couple of emails on Greece, which are both be posted on the site shortly. But one of them coming in saying, look, there's been a little bit of, I'm just paraphrasing here, but there's been some contact between Putin and the current Greek government, and talk of Putin, you remember a little while ago, he made this offer of about $500 billion to develop their port and wants a base there in Greece. Obviously, NATO does not want this at all, and Greece is playing both hands here, and a little bit of a blackmail, I would suggest. So some people are saying that Greece should, or rather that Europe should take the longer-term view and prevent that prevent any deal between Greece and Russia from actually occurring by keeping giving Greece a better deal and keeping them in the European Union, and that I think is also President Obama's hope. But well, this is doing a lot of damage, needless to say, overall, and that was not what it's actually what the European Common Market was intended to do. It's pointed out, I was mentioned to me that the EU was created to prevent wars within Europe. Well, no, it wasn't actually. It was the European Common Market which was created to prevent wars within within Europe, and that morphed, thanks to the bureaucrats, into the EU, and that is not working so well, and the problems remain. My guess is Greece will still be offered a better deal and may well hold stay within the European Union, but I wouldn't bet anything on it, not at this stage. Okay. I mentioned Wall Street was down a little bit in here today. So what can we expect over the medium term and longer? Well, Greece has the potential to create a further shakeout of markets. Certainly, if it pulls out of the discussions, this Greek tragedy may carry on into next week. You'll be sorry to hear. I'm sure we're all fed up with it, and I am. And on the other hand, if we get a deal on Monday that looks like it's going to hold, then you'd get a relief rally for sure, because there are some short positions in the market. And there's some demand that's been holding off because of that. Over the longer term, I think Greece is still going to be a headache for Europe if it stays in. And I also think that the bigger headache that will return is the bond market headache. And as far as I'm concerned, the 35-year plus US secular bull market in government bonds, reflected, of course, by falling yields, that is over. And I don't think that's going to get another extension. It may have a more lengthy bottoming out process, but there's also a risk that it could have a very rapid bottoming out process, just as people get the message and begin to scramble towards the exits. That's not indicated by the technical picture at this stage, but you think of all that long bull market and all those big positions in there and the complacency that exists in any secular bull market in the latter stages, and I think it's quite risky. If bond yields move higher in a ranging gradual on a ranging gradual basis, well, that would be the best outcome, and that would not really be negative for stock markets. On the other hand, if bond yields race higher because people are heading for the exits, then it would not be so good. You might recall from yesterday's audio that we had a down, and also comment of the day, we had a downside key day reversal on that 10-year bond. It was a little overbought. It almost reached 250 and then got the downside key. Well, it did not end the day with downside follow-through. It was weak. The yields dipped in the morning, but then picked up and closed with modest gains on the day at 2.39%. I mean, my guess is we're going to get a short-term consolidation in this region, and then we will see those bond yields rising once again. Watch that closely. If bond yields surprise on the upside, then that'll be a further headwind for stock markets. And you can easily see why investors get nervous. They may have liquidity problems in bonds. A lot of people are talking about that as a possibility, and that makes sense to me. And so some are saying, well, then they'll sell equities as well. Well, maybe, or just the fear that that will happen. Just general nervousness here. We're going to have a choppy period. We are in a choppy phase, and I think this is going to persist. That's hardly the end of the world. Markets can often be choppy. We're in a seasonal period that of underperformance on average, and therefore we should just expect that choppy condition. If you're in equities, I think you're in the better sector of the markets, and if you're in quality equities that aren't too expensive, or at least are in form And if you are also in equities that have a reasonable yield, I think that you can certainly ride out a bumpy period in markets and do quite well over the longer term. But I think the next few years could easily be, I'm repeating myself, I know, but it's such an important point. Next few years likely to be a bit choppy overall. Well, what will do best in that environment? There'll inevitably be some rotation. We've seen plenty of rotation this year so far. India roared in as a top performer, pipped just at the end of last year by China, coming on very strong. China from a very low level, and China's late run pulled some money away from India, which became very overextended on the upside and then experienced a correction. And that correction has been extended by the concern over the monsoon. And that would be serious. The monsoon is came in late, and there is plenty of nervousness about it here overall. Because that would create inflationary problems for India, and it would certainly slow GDP global growth. And so I think there's a little bit more money has been pulled out of India for that reason. It's oversold. I think India is in a accumulation zone. I wouldn't do it aggressively, but I'd be nibbling in here. At this stage, I'd be doing it myself, except India's the biggest position that I've got here overall, and a little bit larger than my China position in a diversified, in what is also a di still diversified portfolio. We've certainly seen plenty of volatility in both China and indeed in India. We've seen the least volatility in Wall Street, but we've got an underperforming transport index, and we've got an underperforming utilities index here overall. But the broader indices are still holding above their overall moving averages. And I'm just looking at the biotech index, or I was a few moments ago, and that's remarkably steady, despite having some bubble characteristics. But I accept the argument that the biotech sector generally, and indeed most of the tech sector generally, is in a period where breakthroughs and product developments, technological developments, are coming through very rapidly, and that yes, the shares are expensive in many instances, but the growth and earnings potential is considerable, and so I'm impressed the way this biotech sector, which has been such an outstanding performer, and it's still very steady, up near its highs. Okay, what about the very longer term? So go beyond the next 2 or 3 years or so. I do expect global GDP growth to be picking up, and I also expect those bond yields, as you know, to be pushing higher overall. Thus the volatility, but then we get into what I think will be secular bull market territory, with the U.S. leading the way, not in percentage terms, but I think in having the stability to create that secular bull market environment, and which, as I've said on many times before, will be driven, the big driver is technology. When we read about technology, we hear a lot about unemployment, because that's a very personal problem for a number of people. And what that means is that a vibrant economy needs to be a little bit more creative in terms of creating more job opportunities for people, and I think that will certainly happen. But technology is the big driver, and some of the benefits that we've seen from that is that technology has broken the back of OPEC in terms of controlling the energy markets. and specifically controlling oil and gas prices, OPEC plus plus Russia and a few others. And we are in an era, as I've been saying, and Owen and I've been saying for a number of months now, where I think the oil bubbles, oil price bubbles, the last one we saw was in 2008, and that had a devastating effect in addition to the whole credit crisis problem that was developing. I think those are over. And what we really have, and I think we'll continue to see going forward, is lowish energy prices, certainly relative to a few years ago, in real terms, and that as a permanent factor as the renewables come on steadily, and the technology. We know that shale oil and gas production, for instance, can be ramped up very quickly in the United States, and other countries have the potential to do that as well. So enough said, I've covered that for you on a number of occasions. But to draw a line under stock markets here, I think that there's a lot more to gain on the upside over the long term than on the downside. Okay. What about government bonds? Well, bear market territory, I would not want to be there. And I think that I'm hoping that a lot of money won't be lost, but I fear that it will be. A lot will depend on how quickly bond yields move upwards, as I was also mentioning earlier on. In terms of currencies, they've been quite volatile in a number of instances. The big one in terms of concerns good news would be the US dollar. And what I think the Fed wants to see, and what I think most people who are in a position to analyze this on a global basis want to see, what I certainly want to see, is a somewhat weaker dollar. Take the dollar index. That bounced yesterday after a bit of a sell-off, but it's back and it's a little bit lower here today. It's currently at 94.97, so just below 95. I'd really like to see that down below 90, and more importantly, I'm sure the Fed would like to see that back down below 90. In other words, a very lengthy consolidation and somewhat bigger pullback than we've seen. By lengthy, very lengthy consolidation, well through the end of the year. That would be best for the global economy. Now, if I'm wrong and the dollar goes shooting up again, that will create some real problems. It'll create some problems for the US for sure, and it will also create problems for emerging markets, which borrowed against the background of zero interest rates in the US. And that would a very strong dollar, I think, would trigger some cyclical bear markets, and maybe bigger for some of those smaller emerging market economies that are over-leveraged in US dollars. I'm not talking about China. I'm not talking about India in those examples. Looking at the commodity markets here, which have eased back in the last couple of days, the good news is that technology makes or enables, I should say, all of the hard commodity producers from energy to metals. Fossil fuel energy to metals, it enables them to operate far more efficiently. And that means that they can go on with mining operations that in other cycles before the turn of the century would have been, the cost would have been much too expensive. And so that's keeping prices down, that's keeping inflationary pressures down. It is the in terms of the good bad news trade-off, saying it's mostly good news. One thing that we have not seen, a lot of people are talking about bear markets in equities. I'm going to go back and mention this point on equities, because I think it is a really, really important one. But one of the big signals that you're reaching the end of an important bull market in stocks is when you get commodity prices racing higher on rapidly expanding global GDP growth, which then causes central banks to hike interest rates higher. That's so obviously not happening in this environment. Bond market yields are moving up, but from a very, very low level. So we don't have that danger here at all. Another factor also is that U.S. bank shares, which I wrote up yesterday, are performing very firm. And we don't get bear markets of any consequence when bank shares are outperforming. So choppy environment, but not the big blowout that so many people have been forecasting and some hedge funds have been hoping for. Now, sticking with these commodities here overall, I think they're in a trough area. But the recovery is still likely to be slower. I do expect some increase in global GDP growth over the next few years, but I don't think it's going to be explosive, or I'd be surprised. I'd certainly be surprised if it was explosive. So we're more likely to see from this trough area for most commodities and industrial commodities, we're more likely to see a gradual ranging recovery, and oil does not have that much upside from here, because with Brent crude, well, it's $63.78 here tonight, does that get up into the $70, $80 region? It did touch 70 not all that long ago. But yes, it could, but that would then start to bring the shale production back on stream, and increasing supply could cap the rally fairly quickly. So I don't think you'll see a big recovery there by any means. We have scope for perhaps somewhat bigger recoveries in industrial metals, but those have just not started yet at this stage, and I think we'll have to be patient. Same thing applies to precious metals. And sure, they're reasonably interesting at these levels, but there isn't a lot of buyer interest that we're actually seeing at the markets at this stage. And therefore, I think again they're in trough areas, but we're likely to see more ranging before they pick up significantly once again. And I think I've touched on the major points in here, and I hope I haven't repeated any of them too frequently. If I have, forgive me, and have a fantastic weekend. All the very best to all of you. And I look forward to seeing some of you, of course, at the markets now. On Monday, and therefore I will not be producing any commentary or audio on Monday, but I'll be back on Tuesday. All the best.